Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. What I'm going to try and do in the next little while is to take you through a journey on how Roshan has tried to rebuild Afghanistan with wireless communications. And I'm going to try and be your pilot doing that and land you back here in about 15 minutes if I can. So one may ask, why wireless? I'd like to share a little anecdote with you. If you take all the landmines in all the war-torn countries and add them together, we have more landmines in Afghanistan. So try digging up the ground to try and put fiber or cable into the ground. It's a bit difficult. So wireless is really the only way to go. In terms of the terrain, Afghanistan is a very, very rugged terrain. So we have very high mountains. We have the Pamirs, and we have the Hindu Kush Mountains, and the rest of it's desert. So again, it's just the terrain stops you from doing anything other than wireless. Some of the challenges we've had in Afghanistan is that 25 million population, that's the number this week. 2 months ago, it was 22 million because they closed down some refugee camps in Pakistan. 3 million people turned up overnight. So these are the kind of things that we have to live with and work with as we work through Afghanistan. I want to share some other little anecdotes. Today, we are the largest private utility, Roshan, in Afghanistan. There is no power. So when we go and put a base station in, we have to provide two generators and a fuel tank. And then we have to get diesel to those tanks in the rugged terrain. So this is the life of trying to put in a network in Afghanistan. In terms of security, every one of our sites, we have to have three armed guards guarding the site, not because there's the Taliban or not because it's unsafe. Really what people have is they have no fuel and so they want to come and steal the fuel from our diesel tanks. To date, so far in 2.5 years, nobody has attacked any of our sites because the people realize that if they have communication, they're able to talk to each other and they're able to do their business. So it is a very interesting country in which to work in. The GDP number that you see there is actually one that's just recently been published. And the growth rate in terms of GDP is actually quite phenomenal. Unfortunately, part of that is due to the growing of poppies, which the government of Afghanistan is trying very hard to eradicate. It is a very interesting market. It's a very young market. The average life expectancy in Afghanistan is about 40 years old. 7 out of 10 children die at childbirth. 3 out of 5 women die at childbirth. Of course, with aid money coming into Afghanistan, more and more people will survive, and we are seeing population, very, very large bursts of population now. For 4 years, there hasn't been really a war, and people are beginning to get used to living without having to fight each other. In terms of Roshan, who are we? Roshan is an international group of shareholders, privately owned. ACFED, which is the Aga Khan Fund for Economic Development, is the for-profit arm of a social development agency that does humanitarian aid in many war-torn countries. We have an American partner called MCT Corp that owns 12.5%, and between the two of us, we actually own wireless networks in Tajikistan and in Uzbekistan. So we're the largest regional mobile operator in the region. The name Roshan is a very interesting name. In Dari and Pashtun, those are the two main languages in Afghanistan, it means light, it means hope. And the way we chose that name was we did the first focus groups ever in Afghanistan. So imagine taking 30 people who are, 3 out of 10 of them would be illiterate, and trying to explain to them what a brand is and a name, you're trying to choose a name. So we took a Coca-Cola bottle, put it on the table and said, does anybody know what that is? And they said Coca-Cola. And we said, well, we're trying to name our company, and we're trying to, it's going to be a wireless company. Can you help us give us the name? And unanimously, out of all the groups that we put together, they came up with the name Roshan, which means hope, light. People of Afghanistan were tired of fighting. They wanted something new. They wanted some hope. So that's how we came about with the name. And really what we're focused on is building the community, building back businesses and employment in a legitimate way. So what was the situation in Afghanistan when we arrived? 0.02% penetration of telecoms. There were only 20,000 fixed lines that survived the 23 years of war. There were 35,000 satellite phones with Thuraya, and there was another competitor of ours that already started before us who had about 30,000 mobile phones, wireless phones. And there was coverage in four cities. And people used to pay $400 to buy a phone and a SIM card and $2 a minute in a country where the GDP was less than 240 bucks. So that led to a very low penetration. What did we do? We came into the market and we addressed the issue of price and coverage. Today we have 150 major towns and cities covered with our service, and we created a one country, one price, 10 cents per minute peak time, 5 cents per minute off peak. We believe that if people can speak, then they will not fight. And we've seen that really playing itself out in the country. The other thing is, we didn't bring third-rate technology. We brought GSM technology, and we leapfrogged some technology. So we brought data services for people, fax. So people can now send faxes, receive data, and it really has changed the face of the environment in Afghanistan. Today, it's 4.2% penetration. We're the third fastest growing market in the world, if you consider the GDP. What do we do? How do we do it? It's very simple, classic textbook. You know, it's no different in Afghanistan than it's here. We understood the market. We tried to get closer to our customers. We built a quality product. We built a brand. We spend a lot of money on training. I'm going to focus a little bit on that. And one other area which is very important, we focus on corporate social responsibility, giving back to the people. This is very important in a country like Afghanistan. Understanding the market. There was no market research. There are no market research companies. There was no ad agency. So we really had to develop the first advertising agency, the first market research companies in Afghanistan. And every 3 months, we do customer satisfaction surveys. And as you can see there, from December to March, the customer sat for our customers went up. We did have a blip in between, as you can see. And the reason for that is trying to get our goods into the country. Many of our suppliers are in the room here. When we first went and said to Microsoft and EMC, please send us equipment, they said, send money first, Afghanistan. Even today, to try and get people to come to Afghanistan to actually put in the goods and services, it's very difficult because they're not covered by insurance. So it is really a challenge when you're trying to operate in that kind of environment. Just to give you another little anecdote, last week, Afghan Ariana Airlines was put on the blacklist by the European Union because it didn't meet the safety standards. So we have these kind of challenges that we face when we're trying to do business in this country. In terms of getting close to the customer, we built the first Western-style call center, which was used by the United Nations during the election period to give information out to the voters in Afghanistan. 10 million voters registered. That's quite a success for the country. We've got 170 points of sales. What we did at Roshan, we used the Afghan entrepreneurial spirit to actually create franchisees. So today, you can go around 150 cities, and you'll actually see a Roshan store where you can go and buy your phone or your SIM card or your scratch card. No different than you do in the United States. We have 1,000. By the way, all our services are prepaid. 99% of our customers are prepaid. The joke I make is that try going and collecting a postpaid bill from one of the Afghans with an AK-47. It's a bit difficult. So it's all prepaid. We have three currencies in Afghanistan. It's the US dollar, the Afghani, and the Roshan SIM and scratch card. So we've created a currency as well. We've also established something called PCOs. In terms of the market segmentation, there are many people that cannot afford a phone. Today, the SIM card price is down at $25, and you can go and buy a secondhand phone. And for about $60, you can get yourself going. But some people cannot afford that. So what they do is they go to a public call office. That's what a PCO is, where somebody mans a fixed wireless phone, and they come and they make the call, and they just pay for their call. And that's how we address some of the market segments who cannot afford the services. We have a Western customer call center, which actually we can answer phone calls in five different languages. We're very proud of that. And we're actually starting the first telemarketing organization. I'm not sure what other services we're going to sell, but 2 weeks ago we launched downloading of music, and it's very interesting that in the first day we did $100,000 of revenue on this product. So people love to buy in Afghanistan. In terms of a network, one of the things that people must not do is do not go and treat the Afghans without respect. They, like you, have the same aspirations. They want a quality product. They want a product that works for a fair price. And many people come in and brought goods and services that weren't very good quality. And so what we did was we brought the best quality product. We have two vendors. We put one base station every 3 days into the country. And really here, we work at giving a high quality product. I'm going to share a little story. The first day we opened our store in Kabul, an Afghan gentleman with beard and turban walked in the store, and he pointed to a Nokia 9500, which was about $1,000 to buy. And he said, "Can I have one of those?" And I said to my sales guy, "Tell him it's too expensive. He can't afford it. Look at that other one there." And second time, he was polite. He asked the same question to me, "How much is that phone?" And I said, no. "Tell him that the other one's $60. Finally, in true Afghan tradition, he stamped his foot on the ground in great anger and said, "How much is that phone?" And I sort of got scared, and I said, "Tell him it's $1,000. He put his hand in his pocket, took out $10,000 in $100 bills, and said, "I'll have three of those." So I just share that with you. So they like good products. They want to buy. For 23 years, Afghans did not have anything to spend on. The Taliban didn't allow them books. The Taliban didn't allow them music. The Taliban didn't allow them any form of social activity. So they have money. Don't underestimate the market, which is one of the things that we have tried not to do. We've had to build our own infrastructure. We have a plane, otherwise we couldn't get services around the country. And we actually have to also build our own roads. We have to actually clear landmines at every site we go to before we actually build the sites. In terms of the brand, really what it is, it's aspirational. Today, if you go to Afghanistan, you go to a village where there isn't a Roshan service, we have the best unaided brand awareness. 95% of the people of Afghanistan will remember this tagline, Nazdik Shudan. It means bringing you closer. It also has another connotation that in the morning when a brother comes down and he's just woken up, his brother will ask him, "Did you have Nazdik Shudan last night?" But I won't go there. The whole idea here, it's about dreams. It's about hopes, and it's about the future. That's what the Afghan people care about, the future, not the past. We are very proud because we also work with best practice. Last year, we won the GSM Best Marketing Award at the GSM conference, and we beat out Motorola, we beat out Samsung, and we beat out Vodafone 3G Live. So we don't do things substandard. We treat the Afghan people with a lot of respect, and we do it properly. Training. Many of our Afghan staff 3.5 years ago would have been in refugee camps. In fact, my CTO, when he was choosing his engineers, came to me one day and he was pulling his hair out and he said, "Kareem, I've decided to change the criteria by which I choose the engineers." And I said, "What's that, Eric?" And he said, "If they can switch on a PC and speak English, they're our engineers." And that's truly what we did. So we spend a lot of money sending these young kids to school, to engineering school, to train them to become our engineers. We spent $1,500 on every single employee, just teaching them English and teaching them IT skills. So this is a fact of having to do business in Afghanistan. Because these people for 23 years were in refugee camps. There was no education for them. So this is one of the challenges that we have. In terms of being socially responsible, I'll give an example. I'm trying to hire expats to bring them to Afghanistan. The first thing that they will ask me is, what happens if I'm ill? Well, what happens if you're ill? What happens if you break your arm? What do I do with you? So we had to build our own clinic. We had to actually build a clinic where we have our own doctor, we have our own staff. From that, it turned out that we were able to use that and give back to the community. We were able to train local children in healthcare, how to brush their teeth, teaching them about hygiene. We also, in terms of social responsibility, half of the country is women, and in the south, in Kandahar, they're in parda. They actually have covering over the head, and you cannot go and get to this market. So what we do is we get other women to go to them, and we've taken from the US book, we've created the Mary Kay and the Amway sales team. So we actually give double diamond points to women in Kandahar for selling our services in the villages to other women, and it's been a huge success. One of the other things we do is we support soup kitchens for orphan children who will go out and work and support their families. Future. The future is about people. 25% of our employees are women. See these young men and women in our store. 2.5 years ago, they were in refugee camps. See how they're holding their heads up high. That's what makes the difference. That's what you have helped us do in terms of us going and being able to make this difference in Afghanistan. We've created 15,000 jobs directly and indirectly. Every job we create causes a family to earn $200 a month. The average salary in Afghanistan is $50. 12 people live off that salary. 15,000 jobs, 180,000 people are legitimately working today without being in the drug industry. We are creating the middle class in Afghanistan. We think that's making a difference. Here are some of our achievements. I'm not going to go through them because I'm running out of time. But one of the things that we did when we got our license 3 years ago, we encouraged the regulator, the Ministry of Communication, to actually allow a third operator to be licensed. So this year, we get a third licensee coming in to operate in Afghanistan. So competition will be rife. What are the challenges? We underestimated the demand. Our business plan called for $50 million in 5 years. We were going to have 12,500 subscribers in the first 6 months. When we went into Afghanistan, in 4 days, we sold 12,500 subscriptions. So we underestimated demand. We have to have good quality services. Corruption is rife. We do not do bakshish. We follow all FCPA regulations. This has been a challenge. Some of my staff have been in prison because of it, but we've done it. Security is still an issue, and the shortage of labor, but that's part of the life of doing business in Afghanistan. This is one of my last slides. Really, for me, this is a proud slide. That lady on the right that you see there holding a phone, the reason we're so proud is in 23 years last year, when the Afghan Olympic team walked out in Greece onto the pitch, that was the first time in 23 years a woman had represented her country at the Olympic Games. It didn't matter that in 1 minute and 23 seconds she lost in the first round of the judo competition. It was more important that she was there, and she was there for Afghanistan. And we are very proud because we sponsored that team and three paraplegics that went to the paraplegic games. One of the last thing is, kite flying is a tradition in Afghanistan. The Taliban forbade it. Last year, during the New Year celebration, we created 25,000 kites with the Roshan brand. 150,000 people turned up and flew their kites in peace with no incident. That was quite an achievement for Afghanistan. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. I hope I've given you a little feel for Afghanistan. Thank you.